All right, welcome to Beers and Buckets. This is the off season. We've been struggling to keep you guys engaged. No, I'm just kidding. I think you guys have been great. Our listener count's been great. But it's the off season, and you know there's not as much happening. We can't do our Shark Tank upsets, which is a really fun feature of Beers and Buckets. But we have a great episode planned for you tonight. From the jump, we're going to do our beer review. But just a second, Dal, how the heck are you, man?
You know, doing well. Technology not exactly cooperating tonight, and that's not fun. Nope. Especially because it affects my job as well. So I've been dealing with camera issues for the last 2 weeks. I guess I just need to get prettier so my camera will stop breaking.
You're gorgeous, baby. You're gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. but no, I am actually going to San Diego on Saturday, so looking forward to that. So just living life. How about you?
I'm doing great. Had a good run at basketball tonight. That was really fun. I really enjoyed our interview with Ramon Everett, who you guys will hear but in later in this podcast. But that was one of my favorite interviews I think we've ever done on this podcast. Ramon just knows. That's if you follow him on Twitter, he knows. Like Ramon knows is his hashtag. But no, he's wildly plugged in, but you don't feel like you're talking to somebody that's wildly plugged in. He's just down to earth, really fun guy. So I hope we can have him on again in the future, especially maybe in like a Arkansas top 10 matchup, because I'm sure they'll be top 10 this season at some point. If not,
so at the beginning. This is spoiler alert, but it's for something that I didn't get to ask him actually. But I noticed that on his Twitter account, he is an Arkansas and an Auburn fan, which is a strange combo. And I didn't get to ask him about it. So we might have to have him back on for the Auburn segment so that we can see what his thoughts on the Tigers are and see who he thinks would win in a matchup or something like that.
No, I think that'd be a great idea, especially, Auburn-Arkansas matchup. Last year went to overtime. That was Auburn was like, one loss or whatever on the season. So, that would be a great
More
idea.
Like fraud burn.
Speaking of Auburn, we know we're going to do our NBA draft bus sleeper lock here in a second. Before we do that, let's do our beer review. I'm ready to drink this beer, man. I'm really excited for it. Do you mind if I go first?
Yeah, that was a strange segue where you segued to one segment that we will do later just to segue back to this segment, but you got it.
I'm a wizard, Larry. Yeah. No, I'm drinking Urban Artifact, the gadget. So Urban Artifact is in Cincinnati. I'm sure a lot of our Kentucky listeners have heard of that brewing company, and they probably sell them a lot in the stores there up there. I don't see a lot of it down here. So when I saw that, I looked it up and I saw it was Cincinnati. I was like, well, this is a go-to for me. It's a raspberry and blackberry Midwest fruit tart, fruited kettle sour is what Untappd has it listed. It's 8.3%, and ooh. I haven't had dinner yet, so I might feel it by the end of this beer. And
brother, it's 10:45. Why haven't we had dinner yet?
Because I got responsibilities.
Responsibilities to eat sustenance. That's a responsibility.
I have you seen me? I could afford to skip a meal and be okay, buddy. I promise you that.
You and me both.
It's 20 IBUs, and this is the highest beer I've ever, like highest ranked beer I've ever had from Untappd. So it's 4 out of 5 on Untappd. So I'm pretty excited for it. Got me a frosted glass here, because I found drinking straight from the can doesn't hit the same as like, I mean, obviously if you can have an on tap, that'd be the best, but just get a nice head here again, pause, and we'll get this thing rolling. But it's really it looks like a smoothie, so I'm excited to try it. On the description that I read on some of the other sites, smoothie was one of the, is like adult smoothie.
Give me a ooh, wow, that, okay, like
it's super
dark. I thought he was joking about it, but it is very opaque as well, which
yeah
makes it seem very smoothie.
You cannot see my hand on the other side like you would a normal beer, so it's very
that is thick. What opaque means.
Yeah, I know. I'm just for the dumb listeners, I'm giving them an opportunity to understand what you're saying. I know it's they don't know.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm treating our listeners like they're five. Yeah, explain this to me like I'm five. It's the famous Michael
Scott. Fair.
All right, here we go. It's definitely a sour. I don't know if I love it. I mean, it's one of the better sours I've had, but it is so thick. Oh my, it is just like drinking a smoothie. Oh my gosh.
Can we pause that as well?
I don't know.
It's so thick.
It's so thick. It's a little bit of reach. A little bit of reach there, Dal. Yeah, 2 C's thick, maybe. I don't know. It's just like, I don't know if I'm going to finish it. Like the flavor is there. So it's really tart, obviously like a sour. The flavor is there. The smell is good. There's no like malt taste to it. There's no like beer taste to it. It's just a really sour beer. So if you're really into sour beers, like go for it. If you're one like me who like kind of dabbles in them, it's not gonna like there's no relief to this beer. So not crushable in the slightest. You know, like this is something you sip on. It's not something that you're gonna, you know, drink 5 or 10 at the lake or whatever, or at the beach. It's not crushable at all. I'm gonna compare it to like TCU basketball. It's an acquired taste, and it's purple. So there's my two comparisons. go Horny Toads.
Fair enough.
What are you drinking tonight, Dal?
I am on the very opposite end of the beer spectrum. So do you know at least – actually, let me look this up because I bet it's not the sponsor anymore. It is definitely not – do you know what beer used to sponsor Everton and was on the front of their jerseys?
Oof, no way.
So
I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's this beer called Chang that their logo is like two elephants underneath this like kind of palm tree looking thing. It's a beer from Thailand. It's a Thai beer. But it's just like a lager. It's their version of like Bud Light, whatever.
Yeah.
But I saw it at the Liquor Barn and was like, oh, that's the Everton beer. So, and I had never had it. So that is what we are trying today. It is 5%. It got a 2.9 on Untappd. So we are not exactly in the highbrow. It says it's no longer being produced by the brewery. Granted, I'm drinking it right now. So I feel like that's a lie. I mean, it smells like a lager. Nice glass, green glass bottle. I mean, from a lager perspective, it's pretty good. It's super bland, but that's not really overly surprising.
Yeah, lagers. I go back and forth on them.
I mean, if you're in the mood for it, I feel like that the like you don't want to have. Like, you wouldn't want to drink your beer that you had if you're eating, like, a burger and fries.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Or like a hot dog. A lager would go great with it. I mean, like, I love Yingling. Yes. Yinglings are lagers. So, yeah, I'm with you on that 100%. Yeah, this beer that I'm drinking, the Gadget by Urban Artifact, it's definitely something that you would have with, like, and I don't really eat, like, dessert with a beer. But if I were going to, it'd be, like, you know, like a cheesecake would be pretty good with it.
Ooh.
Just like especially like a plain or, you know, a blueberry cheesecake or something like that, a raspberry cheesecake, anything like that, not like a chocolate one, but that would be pretty good with this if you're into that sort of stuff. I'm not ooh, typically
like a,
but
like a key lime pie.
Yeah, that would be a good ooh. One too, the tartness with
that's my favorite
dessert. Dude, I love key lime pie so much, and I didn't even get one when I was in the Keys. I was so mad. Ugh, the worst.
Hey, you can just go to Publix because Publix key lime pie might be – this might be a little blasphemous, especially for our Florida people. But the key lime pie at Publix in their, like, bakery section might be better than Pub Subs.
That is definitely blasphemous because nothing tops a pub sub first.
I agree. In the pub sub like category, as a category, pub subs at the top, like unbeatable. But when you're crossing over, I don't know, like food meal lines or whatever. I don't know what the analogy would be.
Genre of food.
Yes. The key lime pie from Publix is, it's so good.
So now whenever you come and visit me, I'm going to take you to this place called JJ Gandhi's. They are the dessert providers for all the local restaurants in this area. As far down south as Clearwater and St. Pete, they provide that. And their key lime pie, I promise you, is 1,000 times better than Publix. Like, I don't even get Publix anymore. If I want key lime pie, I go JJ Gandhi's. It's so good. Their cheesecake is really good too, but it's like $30 for a key lime pie. So you're paying for restaurant quality, and they sell it by like the slice at like $10. So
they have an Oreo key lime pie. They have oranges and cream key lime pie.
Are you on their website?
Of course I am. This looks delicious.
Yeah, so I mean, that's another reason why you need to come visit me, bud. But that's just has to happen. Man. So who are you comparing your beer to, basketball wise?
I'm distracted by the key lime pies. let's see. I'm gonna go with Washington State. The reason being, I got this beer because I was like, hey, I remember that one random thing about Everton, which is a random ass team in the Premier League that barely escaped relegation. And Washington State seems like I was trying to, Klay Thompson. It's like seeing Klay Thompson and be like, oh, I remember that one thing for Washington State. This is the only thing I remember about Washington State. Yeah. And
Klay Thompson probably and should Mike get Leach. Relegated.
Yeah, right. So
Klay Thompson, I'm gonna go like that's it.
Yeah, I'll go Washington State on this because it's like it. Kind of random. It's really far away. Thailand's really far away. It all seems to fit.
I like it. So okay, well, we've had him on before. He's down to come on again. Roommate Caleb, he's coming in a second. He's gonna try the Urban Artifact, the Gadget. It's funny because he's 21, so he's just now new to the beer scene. And I like to hear his thoughts on it. He loved the black and tan. I thought it was disgusting. So maybe he's more mature than I am. I don't know. I'm waiting for him to come in, though. To all our podcast listeners, this is roommate Caleb. Roommate Caleb, say hi.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
They don't answer because it's a podcast. But you have Dow with you. So, Caleb, this is the Urban Artifact, the Gadget. It's a fruited kettle sour, and it's okay. I like it so far.
Well, I really like the can design.
Yes, it's pretty dope. 8.3%, so it can knock you out.
All right.
20 IBUs, 4 out of 5 on Untappd. What do you think of it? First sip.
It is strong. For a sour ale, it's really strong, too. But it's really good. But it doesn't have, like, that beery taste.
No, there's, like, no alcohol taste to it at all. It's just, like, drinking, like, it almost, like, if it was a liquid Warhead, I feel like that's what it would be.
To me, it tastes like... Hold on, let me get another sip before I say this. It tastes like bubbly communion. Like, it tastes like I just took communion at church, but they put some bubbles in it. It tastes like a spicy wine, but...
But not it seems as like good the, as it, wine. And
it seems like it might be something where
I'm not
you
a huge
make...
wine person, but I've had wine that's better than this. And
I've had wine that's way worse than
the
this.
Communion wine is always just booty. Like, I'm glad our church just straight up, they're just like, no, we're not going to do wine. We'll just do grape juice.
Yeah.
That's what I love about it. But yeah, that's.
Well, also the thing is like, I will finish this. Like, it's good enough to like drink.
Yeah. And I'm almost done with mine too. I thought I wasn't going to finish it, but it's grown on me for sure.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's nice.
All right. Well, we appreciate you coming on, roommate Caleb.
Of course. Anytime.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on review. Probably have you on next week.
Sweet. See you guys.
Question. Have you ever had the cider El Chavo? It's I think it's out of Austin, but it's like a mango habanero cider.
No, but I definitely want to try it.
It's very delicious.
I wonder if I could find it at like a, I mean, we're going to Arizona, so not too far from Texas. I wonder if it'd be around there.
I mean, they have it in North Carolina as well. So pretty widespread. But one of the things, the reason I was saying that is we went to a bar one time and they mixed it with, it was like white Lilith or something. It's some kind of, it was some kind of like liquor that, where they essentially used it to make a mixed drink. And I feel like that this seems like that it would be a good beer to use to, if you like mixed it with some sort of like liqueur to be able to make a mixed drink as well.
Yeah. I could almost see, like a liqueur, or even like if you wanted to get crazy with it, like a flavored vodka. Trying to think of like a good flavored vodka. I'm not a huge vodka person, but I could see that mixing it as well. Like if you've ever done like a loaded land shark, so it's a land shark, you drink like, I don't know, a third of it, and then you'd fill, you put like a shot of tequila or two shots of tequila in it. Kind of the same concept, I think, would be pretty good. So if you're into that sort of stuff, yeah, I could definitely see that. It's just that, you know, like this is not one of those beers that, like I said, you would have, you know, sitting out by the pool. It's definitely one that you would get at the brewery. Like you said, it wouldn't even go good with a burger or something like so. It's just a little weird, but I don't hate it. So shout out to Urban Artifact for making such a unique beer.
And shout out to JJ Gandy's for making me really want to keep it
right now. You're about to book a flight to come see me. Dude, just so you can get some
pie. I need it.
Yeah. All right, Dal, let's play a game here. Bus, sleeper, lock, NBA draft edition. You want to do bus first?
We're using the, if you go to Tankathon and go to the mock draft thing, that's the, like, their consensus mock draft is the one we're using, right? Because in doing this, I wanted to make sure, especially with this draft being super unknown, I wanted to look at specific fits for teams and say, okay, this person in this role will either do like one of these three things. And I want to be on the same page there. So if we're going to go, which one do we want to be, positive or negative first?
Let's go negative and end on a positive note.
Okay, so we're going bust. Let me looking through this. Ooh, Tari Eason to the Hornets. We like that.
I'm going to go ahead and say blanket, like off limits, because it's almost like just like prime for the picking, but it's not really fair because just we all know Shaedon Sharpe. I feel like that's an off limit name to say bust because he didn't play any organized ball this past year. So it's been like a year and a half since he played organized ball.
Were you going to say his name?
No, I wasn't. I'm just going to say for the listeners who were wondering, oh, you know, like it's got to be Shaedon Sharpe. We're not saying his name because it's almost like it's too easy to say that, you know?
I'm not saying his name because I don't think he's going to be a bust.
Yeah, so. I don't think he's going to be a bust either. But I know a lot of people have negative feelings towards him and, you know, everything. Our listeners probably have maybe a little bit of negative feelings towards him. So I'm just going to say straight up, we're not putting him as a bust because the expectations for him, I don't think, are super high at the NBA level right now either, because he's, like I said, he hasn't played in a year and a half and he's 19 years old. So,
I mean, if we're going by this mock, he's going fifth, so the expectations would be pretty high. But all right, I have decided on my bust here. The bust is, and I like this player, and I think that he has a ton of upside, but he just seemed to be kind of a flash in the pan at the end of the year last year. He's only 19. I feel like that he has some like kind of Josh Primo vibes. Mm-hmm. I think he's kind of the Josh Primo vibe of this. Do you actually, before I say it, do you have a guess as to who I'm looking at?
Is it Ben Mathurin?
Nah, it's Malachi Branham.
That was my second option. Actually, like that was like my second option. I thought maybe you were going to go higher with it. So I was like, I can see him going with that.
But no, it's Malachi Branham. I really like his game, and he scored 16, 17 points a game last year. Just in this case, he's going 16th to the Hawks. That's just a team that has a lot of guys that play the two or the three, and just seems, I don't know, I could see like Like, how is he playing over a guy like Kevin Huerter?
Yeah.
When I don't know if he's any better than Kevin Huerter, and Kevin Huerter has the years on him. So the in this specific role, I like Malachi Branham, just probably would prefer him more in the like late 20s as opposed to 16th. So I'll go that, especially with some of the guys that are left on the board in this. I guess it's not really like him going right before OJ Agbaji. Like, that just seems weird to me.
Yeah.
So, well, I'll go him for my bust.
I'm going to go a little hot takey with my bust. And I don't do this to be like, oh, I'm just doing a hot take. I'm just looking at the organization. I'm looking at the role that this player would be in and how this organization just traded to get a player like him or similar to him out of this role. And I feel like,
no, I know you're going, this makes you sad.
I mean, I like this player. I do like this player. I think to label him as a bust for his entire career. No. I think he'll be in a similar situation as the player that he's replacing. And I'm going to go Jaden Ivey on the right now. He's mocked to the fourth pick to the Kings. And this is because Jaden Ivey, to be super effective, needs to have the ball in his hands. So does the counterpart in De'Aaron Fox as the point guard. So I hate saying it because I really do like him. I think his jump shot needs to improve all around, like from all three levels. And for him to be, like I said, to be most effective, he has to have the ball in his hands. He's like a lot of comps to Russell Westbrook. A lot of people say Russell Westbrook with a jumper. I don't even know if the jumper's there. I know he averaged a lot of points, but like I said, he was like the one wing at Purdue that, or the one guard at Purdue that could really could just keep the ball in his hands the whole time. And they had a really good backcourt or front court to help him out when he was struggling, you know, to get those rebounds and to pass out to him. So I think the Kings are just going to royally screw this up. No pun intended there. And they're going to take him when they could take like a Shaden Sharpe or, you know, they could not that Shaden Sharpe, I think, would be much better, but he's at least a little bit taller. And he would be more of a small forward maybe than Jaden Ivey. I don't know. Shaden Sharpe could play without the ball in his hands. Jaden Ivey can't. And you know, we haven't seen him do that. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, if comparing Shaden Sharpe and Jaden Ivey is a two, but leans more on the one side of the two. And Shaden Sharpe is a two that leans more on the three side probably. I mean, that's a hell of an athletic backcourt, which would be fun, but I don't know if it's a good fit. And I definitely don't know if it's a good fit considering, like you said, they just traded away arguably their best player in Tyrese Haliburton because they kind of have a logjam at the guard position and wanted to, I mean, I don't know if they wanted to or just kind of had to prioritize De'Aaron Fox considering what his contract is. Like, it just seems strange to say, oh, hey, we're going to trade this guy because we don't have the room for him. We're trying to get a big who also isn't the most athletic, up and down the court kind of vibe in what's his first name? Sabonis. DeMontis Sabonis. Like, he's kind of a plotter that doesn't really get up and down the court. And then you have two of the most athletic guards in the league as your one and two guards.
Like, yeah.
It would just be kind of a strange fit. So I don't know. I mean, you can't see my face cause my camera's messed up, but like, this is my surprise face that the Kings would mess up a draft pick. I am just completely floored. So.
Yeah. Like, and I say this again, it's not, I think Jaden Ivey himself is the bust. I think it's the role that he's going to be put in that is going to make him be a bust. And that's important to say just in general, when we talk about players being bust in general, like, you have to realize that sometimes they're not put in the best role to succeed. And so we can't really blame them entirely. Like, it's on front offices more times than not.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking about this. one of my professors at Wake was a econ sports professor, Dr. McFall, shout out. He and I were talking the other day about Andrew Wiggins, talking about this was right before the final started. And I was like, I mean, Andrew Wiggins is a good basketball player.
Yeah.
If you have him on your team and you can ask him to do the things that he's good at, he's an incredible basketball player. He just isn't the top five pick, lead a team, Canadian Jordan or Maple Jordan or whatever his nickname was. Like he's not that. But whenever you get realistic and ask him to do the things that he's good at and not expect him to do way more than that, he's a very, very good basketball player that was an all-star starter for no reason this year. But, well, it was because of the fan vote, but there sort of was a reason, I guess.
Yeah.
But, like, that was ridiculous. Like, he's not that good. But he is still a very, very competent basketball player that is very good at a role if that's the role you give him. The problem with the Kings doing something like this with Jaden Ivey is like, is the role, are you asking him to fit a role that doesn't really fit exactly what his strengths are considering the team? And that's honestly, I mean, we have these conversations in our Kentucky group chat all the time. And it's a conversation with any sort of team building activity where it's like, oh, this person would be good on this team, but like, but where do they fit in? How do they fit the role? Because it isn't just like a 2K builder.
Like, it doesn't always work. You're not building
a 2K team, right?
Yeah, it doesn't always work. There's actual chemistry and things that go into play there. So let me do this dishonorable mention. I would say honorable mention, but we're talking about bus here. So dishonorable mention. who would you say is like right there as your second pick for bust in this draft?
So I think I'm going to say this, and it's honestly more so, I think he honestly will, in the role that is given to him in like via this draft, would actually be, this would be one of the better landing spots for him. But Jaden Hardy is just someone that I am
not excited about.
Like, his calling card was that he's a like scoring guard that is super explosive and can beat anyone off the dribble. And then he proved that his first step just like wasn't there.
Yeah.
I won't say isn't there because it can obviously improve, but him, I mean, in this, it has him going 21st to the Nuggets. That seems a little rich for my blood, but the Nuggets, I mean, shit, I could be a shooting guard for the Nuggets and play off of Nikola Jokic and probably be decent. So that fit honestly is probably pretty good for him, but I just don't get Jaden Hardy as a top 20, top, I mean, even first round pick this year. He just, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm going to say my dishonorable mention is probably, I'm going to say Johnny Davis. And again, I think it's more because of the organization that he'd be drafted to. So according to Tankathon, he'd be going 12th to OKC. And I just don't think there's a huge role for him there, considering how high they are in Josh Giddey. And I don't see him taking away minutes from Josh Giddey there. So I just don't think he'd make a huge impact. And for that, for all the hype that Johnny Davis got this past year in college basketball, for him to go there and just be like a bench warmer, I think that would be kind of disappointing. I have a buddy, shout out to my buddy Marco. He calls him the next Devin Booker, and he really wants him on the Magic for some reason. And I said, Marco, Devin Booker's number one attribute coming out of college was his shooting ability. Johnny Davis, like his mid-range is fine. His mid-range is good.
Johnny Davis shoots, but like Cal says,
three-pointers.
We need makers, not shooters.
Yeah. Well, I that's what I mean. His shot-making ability from three especially is just bad. And that's the biggest question mark about your shooting guard is that can he make threes? I know he averaged 20.8 points a game, but he did that when in a mid-10, you know, against mid-10 defenses, you know, not even like great defenses there. So I'm just not super high on Johnny Davis. I think we all know that. I've never been super high on him. So I'm not going to try and be a hater here. I just don't think OKC would be a great landing spot for him.
I'm not hiring him either, but I think anyone that is going to play with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Josh Giddey is going to be set up for success because Josh Giddey's already probably a top 10 passer in the league. So even though I am anti Johnny Davis hype, I think pretty much anyone, especially like, I mean, they just don't have anyone. So anyone that goes to them is going to be.
They have Poku, my dude.
Hey,
they're going to get Chet. They're going to get Chet and Poku.
That's a skinny ass front court, and I need it.
Doesn't matter. The shot's getting blocked. Doesn't matter.
Yes, sir.
They're gonna drain it from three.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's go to our sleepers of this draft, and we'll do honorable mentions as well.
All right. So what are we defining as a sleeper?
I think anyone that's coming in with almost like zero hype, just kind of low expectations. I think pretty much anyone out of the lottery. I think we can assume anyone out of the lottery would be a sleeper.
All right, you go first because I'm going to be a homer and do some homer stuff. So you can go first.
Oh, I know who your sleeper is. I think my sleeper in this is Jalen Williams going to OKC from Santa Clara. I really like this kid. I think we've talked about him enough on this podcast before. Not a lot of exposure, and the fact that he is just sneaking in here, 30th pick to OKC. According to Tankathon, is just says a lot about how good of a player he is, considering how little exposure he had. I like him a lot. My honorable mention here would probably be Patrick Baldwin to the Spurs with the 20th pick. We all know how much we love PBJ on here, and I just think that he was dealt a crappy situation trying to be loyal to his family, and he was the best player on a really bad team, and so it kind of brought his stock down. But if he goes with the 20th pick, I mean, that's only dropping, 12 spots from when he was projected. And he was number 8 coming into this year. So only dropping 12 spots after the year he had would be incredible for him. Going to the Spurs, I think, would be incredible for him. Just that situation, I think he'd be really good in the Spurs as like a stretch four, a small ball or small three, stretch four, whatever. I think he'd be great there.
Yeah, that'd be a sick landing spot. Also, if Jalen Williams drops to 30, I will be floored, because everything that I've heard from essentially anyone covering the NBA draft in the last month has been like, yo, this guy might slip into the lottery. I would be floored if he makes it all the way to 30.
I would really love to see him go to the Heat. I think he would be phenomenal at the Heat, if we're being honest. Like, if they get him at 27, like, sign me up. I'd be an honorary Heat fan. I just think he's got that dog in him, you know?
You just continue to plug that phrase.
It works.
Interesting. Okay, dude, I love the NBA draft.
It's such good content. I love it.
It's so fun. All right, so I'm curious to see who you think my
Jake LaRavia homer. It's either Jake LaRavia or Ty Washington. You said a homer pick, so.
Are you sure about that?
I'm looking at who else is available, who's projected that late. I mean, like,
scroll down a little bit there, bud.
I really like Alondis Williams.
Yeah.
So that could be a sleeper. I just, how many minutes is he gonna like? So for the listener, Alondis Williams projected 45th to the Hornets. I just don't see him taking a lot of minutes away from that Hornets backcourt.
I think that Alondis Williams is one of the three best passers in this draft. So getting him onto a team like that, that could use playmaking, and especially I think they have them going Tari Eason and Mark Williams up top. So that's two additions to that front court. I think Alondis Williams would be a great addition. But that's just me being a homer. Alondis Williams is dope. And I think the skip pass is one of the things that is kind of going to be something that we see as a trend over the next couple of years. Yeah. Because skip passes have the ability to move defenses in a way that nothing else does. Like, if you can, because defenses have gotten so good. We're watching two defenses that are the best two probably at it this year at rotating and switching, so you with the Warriors and the Celtics in the finals. So being able to not have to rely on a pass that's like one person away, but go two passes away with a skip pass like that, mm-hmm. is something that I think will be a trait that we see, especially like role players kind of guys. I mean, shit, the Lakers have been looking for someone to do this for the last like 5 years.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be an underrated trait that continues to rise in priority, especially among kind of like lower level picks. And he does that better than almost anyone. So I think he's a pick for me there. You mentioned Jake LaRavia. Jake LaRavia in the Warrior system would be really, really good.
Oh my God. It would be unfair. Unfair. I would love it. I would be the biggest Jake LaRavia fan if he went to the Warriors.
We already are big Jake LaRavia fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm scrolling through this because I don't want to actually be a homer, even though now I'm just cheating and picking a third person.
Can I pick a third person too?
As long as you don't pick the guy that I'm picking.
Well, I don't know who you're picking. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. 35 to the Magic, because shout out to the Magic. Christian Koloko. I think
if I get to be a homer, you get to be a homer.
Yeah, absolutely. But Christian Koloko at the Magic, because I think we all know at this point Mo Bamba is going to be gone at some point this season. I think it's pretty obvious. The sign and trade is definitely going to be there. If we're going home run pick, like you sign and trade Gary Harris and Mo Bamba, and then you take Terrence Ross and I don't know, throw in Jonathan Isaac, and you go for broke with Donovan Mitchell. But Christian Koloko as a backup center to Wendell Carter Jr. would be fantastic, because he's got the shot blocking ability that Wendell Carter just doesn't have. But he also is just really good. Like he's a really good pokeback player. I really like Koloko a lot. Him and Mathurin both are really fun players to watch. Arizona was super fun to watch this past season. If you were just a hater and just didn't want Arizona to win, like, screw you guys, because they were really fun.
Throwing shots for just no reason.
I hate when people hate good teams because they're good. Like, if you want to hate somebody because they're annoying, that's okay. One thing, but just don't hate teams because they're good.
So one thing that is very interesting about Koloko is, do you know how many career three-point shots?
Oh, it had to be like under 10.
He has taken.
It's probably like under 10.
Yeah, it's 5. He is 0 for 5. But let me...
I don't care. We don't need him to stretch the floor. We just need him to get rebounds and defend the rim.
No, but that's... So this is leading to a point. Mm-hmm. So he at the combine... Let me see if they have his... No, they don't have it here. I'm trying to find... Because like... I'm pretty sure he like went off at the combine and hit a bunch of threes, was like near the top in three-point shooting and stuff. And it's like, yo,
where did that come literally from?
You literally had never made a three-point shot in your entire life
from college. I blame Sean Miller. I blame what's like, his name? Whoever the news coach's name is, I can't remember.
Yeah, at over 5 foot. 7'5", Koloko's wingspan is longer than any other prospect in last year's draft class and is the top 5 longest dating back to 2019. Give me his shooting thingies.
Here's the thing about the Magic to the casual NBA fans, and obviously you shouldn't know a deep dive on the Magic because they are just always booty. But this front office here is the ones, like, they're the guys that drafted Giannis, and they basically drafted him on wingspan and height. This front office loves wingspan. If they get that, like, the Magic Twitter, we call themselves the wingspan warriors, because that's what they just love to get. So the fact that he's the longest wingspan, I think with the 35th pick, if Koloko is available, he's absolutely going to be a magician, which is not technically what we call Orlando Magic players, but it would make the most sense. So
this man was 0 for 5 in his career from 3-point line in shooting NBA threes, shot 16 for 25 in the like 3-point star drill where they Oof. Go where it's like it's a movement shooting drill where you go from like corner to the opposite wing, corner, opposite wing, you work in the top of the key at some point there.
Yeah. But
like where did this come from? If you can get that, like, granted, it obviously has to translate, but he shot 74% from the free throw line last season. Like, that could be what you wanted Mo Bamba to be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which would be just incredibly weird to be able to, like, get that guy
however many or 4 years later, I guess, after you sunk all that time into Mobon, but that'd be very strange.
Well, at the same time, you got to realize it was they took Mobon, but they could that Vucevic wasn't going to be that guy. And then Vucevic became that guy. And so it was like, oh, well, we took this center for nothing. And then we got Wendell Carter Jr. in a trade, and he ended up being better than Mo Bamba. So not that Mo Bamba is that bad. I just think he needs to be in a role that's not coming off the bench to be the best that he can be. So there. Can I take a guess at what your third honorable mention or your second honorable mention here is?
Feel free.
Blake Wesley. To the Grizzlies?
No, but I do like that. I know. I like Blake Wesley's game a lot.
You've been high on him since Kentucky lost to them, even before that, to be honest
with
you.
But people started calling that a bad loss, and it wasn't.
Which is so stupid. No. Yeah.
So my... I just continued to expand my numbers, which is why I get too excited about this. So shout out Bryce McGowan's, because I think he'll be very good, and this has him going to the Pacers, and he'll be a very good scorer in the league, coming off a shit Nebraska team, because why would anyone ever go to Nebraska for anything? But Justin Lewis is the guy that I have. This has him going to the Timberwolves at the 50th pick, and he seems like that he's very much in the same mold of a Jared Vanderbilt, whichever McDaniels they have.
Except for better scorers.
Yeah, definitely a better score, but like that, like kind of 3-4 hybrid guy that can rebound really well. Jaden, that can rebound really well, that can score some. I just really like that fit a lot. And granted, Marquette's in Wisconsin, Minnesota obviously is in Minnesota, but like it's a, those are essentially the same place. People don't get mad at me for saying that because I'm sure that there are some rivalries there, but like just him getting to stay there and work on that Timberwolves team. Timberwolves are just a fun team too. They're super young and figuring stuff out. So that'll be my other sleeper after like 20 minutes of me picking half the second round as my sleeper pick.
All right, let's move on to locks here. I'm just saying locks are, they're not going to be like something that you would be a gamble. So like a Shaedon Sharpe at, like to the Pistons. It's more locks are just things that like, oh, this is a great fit for this team. It makes the most sense. So who are your lock and your honorable mention lock? We're only keeping it to two this time. Who's your lock and honorable mention lock here?
Honorable mention lock is Chet Holmgren to the OKC Thunder, just because one, I wanted to see that front court with Paolo, but
he's a magician, buddy.
I mean, if he does make it to two, like Sam Presti is sprinting to the podium. Like he's going to pass out. He's running so hard to get to the podium to turn that draft pick in.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by lock in that case is just the pure upside play of him is exactly what the Thunder do. But my actual lock, and this isn't someone that I think is going to be some like world beater, great player, but this has Mark Williams going to the Hornets. The Hornets desperately need literally anyone that can play the five. And I think Mark Williams, one, is probably the best rim protector, at least like primary rim protector, because Chet Holmgren is incredible at blocking shots, but he's kind of more of an off the ball presence. Mark Williams, I think, is the best like direct rim protector in this class. He definitely showed some scoring upside towards the end of the year. Showed a little bit of playmaking upside too, honestly. They had him kind of, I don't know if he'd ever get to the level where like Bam is in terms of making plays kind of from the nail at the free throw line, but he definitely has a little bit of that in his game at least. So them getting him in there, he's going to be able to get lobs from LaMelo. This also has him playing alongside Tari Eason, which would be another great defender on that side. So, I mean, the Hornets literally not picking a stupid white center from Wisconsin or North Carolina is a wonderful change of pace. And I think Mark Williams would be awesome in Charlotte.
It's funny you mentioned that because I have Tari Eason as my honorable mention lock. I just think
Hornets, like you said, winners of the draft, getting two of the locks and a sleeper.
Absolutely. No, I just think the expect for some reason, like, everyone's super low on this except for like this podcast. But Tari Eason, I think, is going to be a fantastic player in the league. I think he's going to be one of those guys that has an impact without being super flashy, even though his game can have flash to it. He's still pretty young. He's only 21. He's a sophomore, you know, coming out of the school. 25 points per game. Like, how are you going to say, like, that's not flashy? But it really wasn't. I feel like everyone's kind of sleeping on him. So he can almost slide in as a sleeper. But I think he's just a perfect lock here because they don't have a front court at all. So, like you said, with Mark Williams, Tari Eason is the honorable mention lock here. My ultimate lock here, and this is assuming that the Spurs get Patrick Baldwin Jr., would be Ben Mathurin with the 9th pick here. I think that's just makes the most sense. He's a defensive minded, but is a really good scorer. He's 6'6", 205, like, wing. So I just feel like he has the, you put him next to Keldon Johnson, and that's a really fun lineup. And then PBJ, like, would also be really fun with that,
like,
too. I
like that you act like Keldon Johnson is their best player when they have DeJounte Murray, but.
No, I know, but, like, I just really like Keldon Johnson's game there. Like, he's definitely flourished there. No, DeJounte Murray obviously is a better player than Keldon Johnson at this point.
I'm just giving you shit.
No, yeah, for sure. But just, I'm just thinking of the young guys because we also don't know the long-term plans for San Antonio. So DeJounte Murray could be out and go to a contender. At this point, it seems like San Antonio is here to rebuild. And it would be definitely a fantastic pick for them to get Ben Mathurin. That's a lock to me. If he didn't go there, it had to be New Orleans before. If they swap Dyson Daniels, goes to San Antonio, and Ben Mathurin goes to New Orleans, I still think that's a lock with Ben Mathurin at New Orleans. Like, I don't care where he's going. I think it's a lock. He could go to even Portland with the 7th pick, and it would make sense to me. He's just, I'm really high on this kid. So can't wait to watch his career. He reminds me of, like, his projection right now reminds me of, like, Moses Moody, except for he's not going to a finals contender. So he will actually have an impact from day one. I think Moses Moody will definitely have an impact in the next couple of years for Golden State. But for right now, we'll see what happens to his career.
I'm curious, who's your comp for Tari Eason? Because I have a guy from the playoffs that I think is what is, like, kind of not the best case, I guess, but, like, the most reasonable expectation for him. But curious to see your thoughts.
It's tough. I almost want to go. I almost want to go with, like, rookie, like, Laker Julius Randle with this. And I know that's probably, like, not, like, where you're pulling this from, but I just feel like
that's very much not what I was expecting.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Tari Eason, Julius Randle was the talk of the draft that year, if you remember. And so he went to the Lakers, and then he got injured that first year. But I feel like Julius Randle has always been an impactful player on both ends of the court. And I feel like Tari Eason can be that for the Hornets. Especially when they have already, like, a good guard. So it's probably not the best comparison. That's just the one off the top of my head. Who was your comparison for Tari Eason? I'd be curious.
Who were the three best players for the Dallas Mavericks last year? Or this year?
This year?
Whatever. Season's done, so I don't know if we say this year or last year.
Yeah, no, like, this. Counts as this year. I mean, obviously, yes.
The most recent team that they had.
Luka is definitely one. Is it crazy to say Dinwiddie is another one?
I would go Jalen Brunson as two, but
yeah, I gotcha on that. I wasn't doing an order. I'm just giving three. Yeah. I mean, obviously, Luka is the best player there for
right
by far. I don't know. So Jalen Brunson, and then what? And stuff like Tim Hardaway Jr. Like, I don't know, Finney Smith. I don't.
So Finney Smith is who I was thinking of as about 6'7" guy that is built kind of more like a small forward, but can play that power forward role.
Yeah,
is, I mean, what right now? Tari Eason's listed at 6'8", 217. Dorian Finney Smith 6'7", 220. Like,
a true, true 3-and-D shot, has shot 39%, 40% from the last two seasons from three, averaging 5 3-point attempts per game. Like that, that seems like if you have a true elite caliber team, like playoff contending team, if you can have Tari Eason fill that Dorian Finney-Smith role where he can lock down whoever the other like best wing is and can reliably hit threes for you.
Yeah.
Like that's a beautiful, beautiful pickup at the end of the lottery, beginning of the kind of like middle of that, that first round.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. I like that comparison. Usman Dieng, I'd be curious how he performs at this level. I mean, like he's taller than Tari Eason. He's 6'9". He weighs less, but he plays small forward. I'm really high on him. I would hope that he would go a little bit higher than 14, maybe like go to the Knicks with the 11th pick or something like that. It's tough because they have RJ Barrett, but I could also see OKC really taking him.
Yeah, true. I don't know how they would pick Johnny Davis over a guy like Usman Dieng or Tari Eason, shit for that matter.
It'd be pretty tough to see them. I could also see Hornets taking Usman Dieng and taking like Mark Williams and then Tari Eason go to like Cleveland or something. I don't know. I could see that happening because freaking Miles Bridges posting his pink lemonade, quote unquote, and his he didn't even try and justify the blunt. He was just like, no, it's pink lemonade. Like that's what everyone's concerned about there.
Okay, let the man live.
It's off season. Who cares? No judgment here. I just know there's going to be some investigation somewhere. So,
all right. Yeah.
Okay, we are back with Ramon Everett. Ramon, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm pretty good. I think Dal's pretty good, too. Are you good, Dal?
I wish my technology would work. we were supposed to start trying to do video for this, and for the last, like, 2 weeks, my camera has been messed up, so I got a new one, and now that webcam's messed up, so I have no idea, man. Other than that.
That's cold. All right, so Ramon, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you are a filmer for Overtime, and you have your own Twitter account that you kind of – you have your personal one, but then you have a combo Twitter account. Tell us about yourself and where we can follow you and your work. And I also have another question for you, but tell us about yourself.
All right, so appreciate the wonderful introduction. Yeah, I do – I work for Overtime and here and there. I do stuff for Ball is Life, but mainly I'm an Overtime filmer. I'm primarily – Carlos Boozer's son's cameraman.
That's dope.
So yeah, it's been a journey the last year. I only been filming for like a year and like 3 months, so everything's kind of been picking up fast. But you could typically, a lot of people follow me on Twitter, Grind So Hard 28228, and on Instagram L2G_TV. My brand is Live to Grind. So everything is yeah, I love Twitter, so everything kind of picked up rapidly on there. It's kind of how I kind of got the fan base now. Definitely credit to a lot of the Arkansas and Auburn people, because without them, I wouldn't be where I'm at, and that's just me being honest. So I definitely owe a lot of the credit to a lot of the fans and the wonderful support that I've been getting over the last year.
So you mentioned that you filmed for Overtime. You felt you're like Carlos Boozer's son's filmer. So two questions then, because I didn't know that second part. Do you, when you play 2K, like, have you ever tried to shoot the way Carlos Boozer shoots? Because he has the weirdest free throw shot I've ever seen in my life.
Not as funny. Now we talk about playing one-on-one sometimes, but it hasn't happened yet. But he probably still could beat me with his experience.
That's facts, probably.
They're class of 2025, right? So they're freshmen.
Yeah, right, one of them's the number one recruit in the country, and the other one, he's like ranked in the top 20, like 24, I believe.
That's gotta be, that would make me so mad if I was the twin that was like, wasn't a five star. That made me so mad.
But yeah, basically on a the rankings, it was like the first 2025 ranking. So I'm pretty sure he's held his own against like five of the guys in the top 25. So I'm pretty sure the next update,
he'll get bumped up.
He should be up there for sure.
Yeah. So how'd you get in? Like, how'd you get into this? And I really got to ask, who's the best high school athlete you've ever filmed or have you ever seen in person? I'm sure you go into a lot of these events. Who's the best player that you've ever seen?
Oh, you're going to make me get in trouble.
who's the most exciting? How about that? Let's say the most exciting, because sometimes the best isn't always the most exciting.
So the most exciting player that I've seen probably would be Shaden Sharp.
Oh, we don't mention that name around here.
Yeah,
we don't mention that name around here. I'm just kidding. No, no, I love Shaden Sharp. I'm not salty about it at all.
I believe he averaged like 30, but every game that I went to, and I went to like, I've seen him play like 8 times. Like he always comes to, he always came to play, and I thought he held his own last year.
Yeah.
And I'm also
we're big Shaden Sharp fans on this podcast.
Who was good last year? Derek Whitehead. So them two, because every time I watched them play last year, and like last year's my first time kind of getting like, because I mean, the ranking stuff, you know how that is. Sometimes mm-hmm. that the top isn't always, you know what I'm saying, doesn't always show up sometimes. So, I mean, I thought that was pretty cool to see, like, the best players, like, they came to play, and they were pretty efficient for the most part.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Those two are fantastic players. I wish we could have seen Shaden Sharp play in some sort of college or at least G League. I think that whole situation is just wacky. And I don't think even he knew what was gonna get, what was gonna happen in the long run. But there's no hate for Shaden Sharp on this podcast, at least. I can't speak for Dow, but I think I can speak for Dow in this situation. Yeah, we love Shaden Sharp on this podcast. And Derek Whitehead just picked the wrong blue school. If you're asking,
yeah, that's a little tough.
Yeah, and just to finish it up on Shaden, like what she's saying, I know a lot of the contestants and have like insight and stuff like personally, but. This whole EYBL session, I actually was with his EYBL team. You play Canada, and mm-hmm. a lot of people were saying the same thing. Like, he really wanted to play for Kentucky really bad. So, that's just saying a lot. I don't think he really knew, and like, what was going to transpire.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, all right. Well, we've talked about you. Now we want to talk about Arkansas. So, we know Arkansas finished 28-9 on the season, 13-5 in the SEC. They finished fourth overall in the SEC and AP top 25. They rounded out the season 17th, and then KenPom, they rounded out the season 18th. So they were a really good team. They had some really weird losses. Like how do you lose to Vanderbilt? Like, I just don't understand that one. That was a tough loss.
I agree. Yeah. Vanderbilt are one of the worst teams in the ACC. That loss shouldn't have been there. I definitely will agree with you on that one.
I think there was another one not preseason, but in the non-conference was it Hofstra? Was that
the Hofstra?
Yeah. There were some weird losses because at times this Arkansas team looked at the best team in the nation. They held their own against a lot of good teams, snuck out some wins against a lot of good teams. So it's just weird. It's almost like sometimes they just played down to their opponents is what it looked like throughout the season. So give me who was your favorite player? I'd have imagined it was JD Notte, right?
No.
No, that's surprising. Okay.
Jalen Williams?
Yeah, I was a big fan of Jalen Williams.
Now that he's left Arkansas, I think I like him a little bit more. I think the rumors that the Magic are going to take him in the second round. But I just can't get behind tracking how many charges a player takes. That's just a stupid stat to me. That just shows that they don't want to play defense.
Absolutely right.
Yeah. All right. So let's break down who do we know that's leaving. Ramon, do you want to take it away on this part? Who we know that's leaving?
What? That's already leaving, or that's already left?
Yes, both.
Oh, okay.
I think it's easier to say who's returning, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So of the people returning, we know Devontae Davis and Kamani Johnson are the two returning. After that, for our listeners who don't know, JD Notte has gone to the draft. Stanley Umode, is that how you pronounce it? I don't even know how to pronounce these names. Is that correct? He's also going to the draft. Jalen Williams, like I said, is going to the draft. Who else, Dell?
I forgot his name, but he's going to the – he's trying out for the NFL.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Wait, who's doing that?
Tony? Is it Tony?
Yeah, him.
Audis Tony?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think of all the new guys and the old guys at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chris Likes came from Miami. He's graduating. He was a senior. He was a grad transfer. Who else is leaving, Dell?
Connor Vanover.
Yeah.
Transferring to Oral Roberts. Trey Wade graduated.
K.K. Robinson.
Yeah, he's going to A&M. Chance Moore is transferring down to Missouri State. And then has Jackson Robinson said where he's going yet?
He's undecided according to 24/7 Sports.
He's out. I mean, so we did Illinois last week, and we're kind of giving them shit for having a brand new team. And Arkansas is just as bad, if not worse, in terms of turnover.
It's definitely worse. Illinois had 3 people returning. Arkansas is 2.
True. 2 pretty good ones, though. Devontae Davis, man, I really like his game a lot.
Yeah, so Devontae Davis
had – freshman last year, too, right?
Yeah, he had 27 minutes per game. He didn't, like – he wasn't a stat sheet stuffer, but he did a lot of good things that don't log on a stat sheet. So that's really encouraging if you're an Arkansas fan. Kamani Johnson didn't really see the floor a whole lot. Averaged 7 minutes a game. But 18.1% of percentage of possessions used. So, yeah, that's a good sign too. Is that when he was on the floor, he was being used more than the average player. But as far as people leaving, like we mentioned, all those names, even the top 4 is 33 minutes a game, 27 minutes a game, 31 minutes a game, 32 minutes a game. There are a lot of questions about these incoming players because you're losing a lot of production. So Ramon, give us a breakdown of the incoming players that we have for Arkansas this year.
Yeah, I'm very excited. One of my favorite classes. Like, I'm not sure, like, as far as, like, chemistry yet, but I think this could be a really big year. But you have the 5-star, the top 5 country, Nick Smith. 5-star, Anthony Black, who's, like, 6'8 point guard, who's ranked in the top 15, who's actually my favorite player from the class, other than Barry Dunning, who I'm pretty close with. That's my guy. And you also have Jordan Walsh, who I believe is ranked he's 11 now.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. But he was just like 7 earlier in the year. So that's just definitely very commendable. The coach must. Oh my God, I'm tripping. You have Barry Dunning, who's in the top 100, Joseph Pinion, and I'm missing one.
Darian Ford.
Yeah, him.
Yeah,
they're back-to-back Gatorade player, like Barry. So
that rounds out the recruits, and then you have like a handful. I mean, you have 5 transfers coming in too. You're getting like a whole squad. Do you know the transfers off the top of your head?
Yes, you have the 2 Mitchell twins.
Mm-hmm.
You have Ricky Council. You have Trevon. Ooh, I cannot pronounce his last name.
Brazil.
Yeah, him.
And Jalen Graham. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Ricky Council's coming from Wichita State. He averaged 12 points a game. The Mitchell brothers respectfully added 10.7 and 9.9 points per game from Rhode Island. Jalen Graham averaged 9.9 points from Arizona State. And Trevon Brazil averaged 6.6 from Missouri. So not entirely sure on the minutes that those guys played, but, I mean, obviously they're transferring for a reason. So that like that's a clear reason why they're transferring. Maybe it's because of exposure minutes.
I know the Mitchell brothers were, I mean, two of the starters, or at least two of the like, biggest producers for Rhode Island. And then Ricky Council was the best player for Wichita State probably last year.
Yeah. So sometimes it's minutes that they transfer. Sometimes it's just they want to get it on a bigger stage in a Power 5 conference.
They just want to take a ride on the must bus.
Yeah, who wouldn't? That's
the real answer.
Who wouldn't, right? I mean, but the handful of – I mean, the top 3, not including Darian Ford and Barry Dunning, which are – and Joseph Pinion, those are great players. The top 3 – you have 3 top 20 players coming in, Nick Smith, Jordan Walsh, and Anthony Black. Those guys are incredible. I think, personally, my favorite is Jordan Walsh. I think that dude is going to get it done on both ends of the floor. I think he's just a monster. He looks like he's just like, he reminds me of like a Terrence Jones at Kentucky. But I think he'll be more polished than Terrence Jones was at Kentucky his first year. So Okay. A lot of things to get excited about for him. What do you think, Dal?
I'm just curious, actually, to Damon's thoughts on who's the actual starting five for this team, and if not, who's the starting five? Because I feel like that there can be some politics that goes into that. Like, who's the closing lineup for this team if they're trying to, you know, close game with 2 minutes left? Who's going to be the team that closes these games out?
The closer. Hell of a question. That is a great question, bro. If I can give you 3 out of 5 guaranteed, but the other two are going to be a little tricky. Because we was actually talking about this yesterday. Man, it was probably like 200 comments. Everybody got a different starting five lineup.
Yeah, but you can make there's a lot of combinations you can throw out.
Yes, sir. My starting five to start the season, just going off what I know, I would say, of course, AB running a point. You have Nick Smith at the 2. Jordan Walsh at the 4. At the 3, I'm going to just say, based off experience, he starts off the season with the 2 twins from Rhode Island, along with Nick, Jordan, and AB.
That's not a bad starting five at all. Barry Dunning, he's your dude. That dude, I only found his junior year stats. Him and Darian Ford averaged over 20 points per game in their junior year, but Barry Dunning averaged 21.5 points per game, along with 11.3 rebounds and 3.1 assists. So he kind of looks like one of those dudes that can do everything. One guy that I really like keep an eye on, especially opposing SEC teams, is Joseph Pinion. I think he's going to light it up from 3. If I'm not mistaken, he was like 40-something% from 3. Just one of those wings that can play defense and really shoot the lights out from 3.
Yeah, and I think that's what with Arkansas, that was one of the biggest things they was missing this year, like a knockdown go-to 3 shooter. And I think Pinion brings that. I know he doesn't really get talked about, even a lot of the other top 100 guys, because of the big 3 coming in. But Pinion, Ford, and Dunning, they honestly have a chance to be really special and carve out a good Arkansas legacy, like under Coach Musk, like assuming they stay there.
Yeah. And
that's one of the cool things about coming in with a class that is so touted like that, is you see the guys kind of underneath. They don't have the – like normally if you have 3 guys that are in the top 100 at pretty much any other school, they're coming in, they're expected to be – like day one contributors, starter level, but because you have Black, Walsh, and Smith coming in along with these host of other transfers, like you don't have to have Dunning or Pinion come out and just absolutely ball from day one. You can kind of bring them along slowly and hopefully get them ramped up by SEC play so that you can like really be humming in conference play.
Absolutely, yeah. That's definitely how I feel about those guys, because like 71, 74, 89 is their rank. So for Dunning, Pinion, those guys, they could easily contribute their freshman year. And if they don't, those expectations are lowered a little bit for them because they have 3, 11, and 15. So there's Arkansas fans listening to this right now and looking at the potential lineups that aren't really, they're probably not going to be super high on those 3. But as we know, there are definitely players like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. If you're a Kentucky fan listening to this, he wasn't ranked super high. He was a 4-star coming into his lone season at Kentucky. And he stepped up and carved a role out for himself as the starting point guard just by play, before conference play began. So we'll see what Dunning and Ford and Pinion can do. But I don't think they're just going to be buried on the bench. Some of these guys that came in from mid-majors, we'd love for them to contribute from the very jump, but that's not always the case. Sometimes the Power Five, the tough SEC physical opponents will have them knock down a step or two, and they don't really contribute to the level that we thought they would. Jacob Toppin, for Kentucky fans, a big example in his freshman year, sophomore year. So that's all there, and that's all something that to keep in mind. Not every recruit is going to be a top 5, and not every transfer is going to be, Oscar Tshiebwe. But there is definitely going to be some contributors here, and there's going to be some that are going to have a learning curve for sure. So is there anything – we said the starting five, Ramon, and I think we mentioned the starting five. To close out a game, who would you want taking the last shot on this team so far?
Well, me personally, I always thought just – me even being a basketball fan and player, like, I think the last shot should goes to whoever is hot during the game.
Oh, 100% agree.
Me personally.
Yeah. 100% agree.
Because I know, I think the smallest guy on the Arkansas roster is like 6'5". So honestly, I guess it's really like a coin flip.
Yeah, yeah. I can definitely see the last shot going to Nick Smith. He has that dog in him kind of, you know, play to it. We always say that on this podcast.
No, you always say that. I don't say that. You say that.
We do. At least when we had Matt on, he did too. But, you know, we'll talk about that later. He's not even going to listen to this. Anthony Black, I could see him taking that last shot, but I'd love to see Pinion or Dunning get the last shot sometime. I think maybe against a lower level opponent, one where like a loss really won't hurt you, maybe something like that. Just, you got to get those guys' confidence level up. And then also, like, I mean, Ricky Council is a great player. So if you watched him play at all last year, you wouldn't be mad about him taking the last shot either. All right, well, let's move on. We do this every offseason episode, the all-time Arkansas starting five plus a sixth man. I have my thoughts on the starting five. It might not be the most conventional starting five, but it's the all-time players, I think, that have gone through Arkansas's program. But I want to hear Ramon's thoughts first. So, Ramon, who's your starting point guard for Arkansas?
Oh, that's tough. That is tough. My starting point guard is like up for grabs. I don't have a specific.
That's fair.
For
the listener, I put Sidney Moncrief as the starting point guard. Even though he was more of a shooting guard, I think you could get away with him. He had the handle well enough to – he'd just be a score-first point guard, if we're being honest. He just had a good enough handle where he could get away with it as a point guard. Dow, what do you think?
So I think looking through all the guys that Arkansas put in the league, there are a ton of shooting guards. So the two position is super upper grabs. One of the point guards, if we're talking about guys that have that dog in them, he allegedly tricks people, but you honestly might throw Pat Bev in just to kind of mess with the other team's primary ball handler. And I mean,
I thought about that too. Yeah. My issue with it is it's always tough because we always talk about in this segment, do we contribute their time at Arkansas only? Like, do we only account for that? Or do we account for what they did in the league? Because like at Arkansas, Pat Beverly wasn't anything to write home about. And he ended up playing over in China for a couple of years before, or in Greece. I can't remember. But before
he played like everywhere.
Yeah, he played like kind of everywhere before he made it to the league. And now he's carved out a significant role as a starting point guard in the league. But you know, so it's a tough situation. That's why I put Sidney Moncrief, because I think his time at Arkansas was there. Like he was the guy, you know, and he was drafted.
Yeah, that's a great choice, honestly. Wait, what did Corey Beck play at Arkansas? Was he more of a two?
Oof, you're asking the wrong person, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's his guard. He is 6'1", so.
Yeah. I mean, if he's 6'1", we can slide him at the point.
Yeah, I actually had a tie between Corey and Sidney.
I like that. So for the shooting guard, I went recency bias, but I just love him too much and wish he played for the Magic. I thought the Magic would have a shot at him. Is Moses Moody. I thought he was going to be. I think he's still going to be great, to be honest with you.
What did you say, Ramon?
I said, that's crazy. I had Moses Moody as my two as well.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, that he earned it. He really impacted the record books, and he impacted every game that he played in at Arkansas those 2 years. So
I think if we're just going, I think Isaiah Joe is another guy that I really like. That would be the other person that I would consider for the two. But I think Moody kind of gets it, especially – Isaiah Joe's on like 6'3", Moses Moody's 6'6". So if we're given a team building spin on this, I think you go Moody.
Yeah, and also Moody's one of the Montverde greats. He had a successful high school career.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That team.
Go ahead.
I was saying that team was tough with him, Cade, Scotty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's unfair.
produced two of the top three guys in Rookie of the Year this year, and Moses Moody is coming along on Golden State. Might want to.
Yeah. If Moses Moody wasn't, if Moses Moody wasn't on Golden State, he would have been probably top five rookie this year. It's just buried behind the bench. Yeah. So for small forward, I put Joe Johnson. Do you guys have any discourse with this?
Small forward, I actually put Ronnie Brewer.
Okay.
Had to switch it up.
I get you. Dal, what do you think?
I mean, you can't go really wrong with either of those two. If we want to get Ronnie Brewer on there, I mean, Joe Johnson, at least in the league, was definitely better than Moses, so we could move him there. But, I mean, Ronnie Brewer and Joe Johnson, can't go wrong with either of them.
No, I agree. For power forward, I put Bobby Portis. We all agree on that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes.
It's interesting because I really couldn't stand him when he's at Arkansas, but now that he's left, he's become so lovable to me. Mainly just because in the SEC championship game against Kentucky, it was like there was just like he was talking all that crap before, and it's just hard to talk crap against Kentucky that year that he played that last year he was there. It was tough, but he's a great player though.
Yes, sir. Speaking of Kentucky, I do expect my boy Robert Dillingham to commit at the end of this month.
Oh, good. You can get a little insight there for our Beers and Buckets listeners and our Kentucky listeners. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. We actually had I don't know if you follow Travis Graff. We've had him on the podcast before.
Hey, I was just with him in Kentucky.
Oh,
yeah. For UABL 3.
Yeah, him and Jack. Those are my guys.
Yeah, so we had Travis Graff on the podcast back in November, and he had teased that Dilly was gonna commit back then, and then like that's when Dillingham switched to NC State. Like literally after we stopped recording, it was like he was committed to NC State, and we're like, wow, there's a bucket curse here. So let's hope Ramon knows and he's plugged in here.
That's right.
Kentucky, also, I can't be wrong.
Now on Bobby Portis though, I went to earlier this year. I went to right at the beginning of January. I went to a Nets Bucks game, and was going there. Is at Barclays. I was expecting get to see Giannis square off against KD, and for the first half, I think Giannis had like three fouls. KD had probably like 12 or something, but Bobby Portis went off for like 20 and 12 in the first half. And I was like, how the hell did I come to a game with Giannis and Kevin Durant and Bobby Portis is out here just being easily the best player on the floor? It was crazy.
That's funny.
He was putting in work.
Yeah. All right. So for our center, our all-time Arkansas center, who we have? Who do you think, Ramon?
Connor? No, I'm playing. I'm not going to lie. I left the center blank because I didn't know who to go with.
Yeah, I pulled mine just kind of searching all-time list, and it seemed like the consensus was Oliver Miller. I don't remember watching Oliver Miller probably because I wasn't alive. I honestly don't even know. But I'm just going to go with what most experts say on this and say Oliver Miller. But we'll see as far as like – and this is – we always talk about this – is the NBA impact versus at Arkansas. There could be a case in the next 10 years for Jalen Williams, depending on where he lands. I really do like his game a lot, and I think he will have a great NBA career for sure.
I do think even what he did this year, he's made himself a lot of money to put himself in a position where he didn't have to come back the next year. So
absolutely. Yeah, he wasn't – beginning of the year, he wasn't on any mocks, and now he's going maybe 32nd and maybe sneaking in first round, depending on the team. I could see a team reaching for him there.
How are we forgetting the guy that put up 17 and almost 9 in 2018-2019? Daniel Gafford is my pick for All-Star Center, or for the All-Arkansas Center.
I like
that. Plus, he's from Arkansas. Like, I feel like he's a move, at least in my lifetime, because like you, I don't know who Owen Miller is.
Oliver.
Exactly.
All right, so for our sixth man, we got to decide – I'm just going to let you guys tell me yours, and then I'll just kind of probably weigh my decision based on your two. So who's our all-time sixth man for Arkansas here?
Well, since I have Joe Johnson in my starting five, I'm going to go with him as the sixth man.
Okay.
Yeah, if I'll, since we definitely cater to our guests, we'll go, I'll put Ronnie Brewer officially as my three, and I'll go Joe Johns as my sixth man too.
That's fine. That's totally fine. So yeah. We have Sidney Moncrief, Moses Moody, Ronnie Brewer, Bobby Portis, and what we land Daniel on Gafford. The Daniel Gafford. Well, no, you landed on Daniel Gafford. Well, what is Ramon saying?
I'm gonna go with Oliver too.
Oliver Miller as our center, and then we'll have Joe Johnson as our sixth man. I like that lineup. That's a good lineup. I don't know
that's how a it tough compares.
I don't know how it compares to. I still think UConn had like takes it for an all time lineup so far in our
what their women's team.
Either women's or men's. Their men's team is really good.
That was he said their women's
team. Yeah. So. All right, Ramon. Well, this is your opportunity to plug anything you want, man. This is our last call. So what do you want our guests to know? Where can they find you, your work, anything you want to plug, man? This is your opportunity.
Most importantly, thank you guys for listening and tuning in. Thank you, guys, Connor and Dal. Y'all been a wonderful host, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on the platform once again. It's definitely been a pleasure and a fun last hour, and a lot of great topics, great segment, and you guys do a wonderful job. Just even like keeping the college basketball algorithm going. So definitely much respect and much love to you guys. But as far as people follow me, they can follow me on Twitter at GrindSoHard228Ramon. I try to follow everybody's back. I'm not Hollywood or anything. So
we appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you for taking the time. I know we had some issues with the technology and everything, but it's all good. We got it recorded, and this has been really fun. I think you've been a great guest, and we're just happy you could come on and share with us about Arkansas.
No, my pleasure. Anytime, and I definitely look forward to being back. You guys are wonderful, wonderful guys, and even a wonderful podcast host. So it was anytime you guys need me, just let me know.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you for coming on.
I think y'all definitely chat soon.
Peace.
Dad, do you have any last call here as we close things out?
Yeah, so last call. We were talking earlier about how sometimes it's better for guys that come in big classes to kind of be able to fly under the radar and develop at their own pace. Do you remember, so this is a little trivia, do you remember Kentucky's 2018 basketball recruiting class?
2018, so that was like the Tyler Hero, Keldon Johnson, like you're talking about that year?
Yes. Who else is in that class?
Ashton Hagans, Emmanuel Quickly, EJ Montgomery.
Correct. Do you remember how they were ranked that year?
Oh, EJ Montgomery was like the number one power forward that year.
EJ Montgomery, number one. Ashton Hagans, number two. Keldon Johnson, number three. Emmanuel Quickly, number four. Tyler Hero, number five.
Yeah.
You can literally flip that order, and it's who was actually ended up being good from that year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Tyler Hero was the best player. Emmanuel Quickly, second best. Keldon Johnson, probably the next best. Emmanuel Quickly took a little bit more time to develop. But, like, Emmanuel Quickly as a sophomore was better than Keldon Johnson as a freshman. Like,
yeah, coming in as Higgins was a reclass that year, too. So, he like, yep, his true. Stock was lowered a little bit.
I think he was a reclass.
He like technically should have been in that. Yeah, he should have been in that class, but he's still a reclass, so he still had less time playing than those guys had.
True. But yeah, like just, I guess, just to our point of talking about guys that are not as heralded recruiting-wise, even if they are still very heralded, like that can always turn around and be something that is kind of surprising. So...
Yeah, I'll tag on that with my last call. I'll tag on that with my last call is that, like, take every recruiting ranking with a grain of salt, because some of these guys, like we saw with DJ Montgomery and, Amani Bates, like, they built their clout early and they kind of built that ranking early and they never progressed. And they kind of stayed at, like, that. They hit their ceiling almost. Obviously, it was high school, so, like, ceiling isn't really a thing in high school. But they never, you know, their opportunity to improve is lowered than some of the other guys like Shaedon Sharpe, like Cade Cunningham, like, you know, fill in the blank of people that in their senior year just rose to the top of the rankings. So keep that in mind with recruiting rankings, because, you know, somebody like Cason Wallace, who wasn't, you know, he's still high. He's still super high on this in this recruiting class. He could be the best player in this class. It's just that he's not a flashy scorer like Nick Smith or, you know, whatever. So keep all that in mind when it comes to recruiting rankings. So I'll tag you on my last call with that, because that's people need to keep a level head when it comes to recruiting rankings for sure. All right, man. Well, this has been super fun. I've really enjoyed this episode. It's going to be a little long. I don't care. I think this is all good content. And if you don't like it, don't listen to it. I don't care. No money out of my pocket, I guess.
Actually listen to it.
Yeah, please actually listen to it.
Which you're already doing, because you've made it to the end of the podcast.
Made it this far. Just finish it. Just for sure. I appreciate you coming on, Dal. I think your insight here has been fantastic, especially with the draft stuff, and then also with Arkansas and just everything there. I think you do a fantastic job, my friend. I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you calling out people that have probably listened to now like 2 hours of our podcast. But no, I appreciate it, man. I have a blast doing these every week. I need to actually restock on beer so that I'm not going back to my slipping back into my ways of not being prepared. So I might have to make some moves there. But no, thanks to everyone that made it this far. And
yeah, definitely.
Thanks for hosting so that I don't have to do intros like we saw on that one podcast.
Right? Yeah. It's all good. Just to tease, next week it's Texas Tech week. I'm not signing tease. I'm just telling you, it's Texas Tech week. You're not going to want to miss it. We have the Talking Tech guys coming on. I might see if they'd be down to do a double feature with the Tortillas and Takes guys, and could be a little feisty. Could be a little podcast war. I don't know. We'll see. But going to be a fantastic episode. Texas Tech is reloaded for sure, and you don't want to miss it. If you're interested in anything college basketball, come check it out.
Chris Beard, who?
Yeah, and Mark Adams, 100% for the win. So we appreciate you guys listening. Thank you for checking us out, giving us a chance. If you're an Arkansas fan, hit that subscribe button, follow button, whatever it is, and make sure that you continue to listen to us. We'll give you shout-outs in the season for sure. So appreciate you all. Have a great week.
Peace.
And it's all over.